was some Maudlin of the Well off of their seminal album Bath. I have not listened to that in a long time, actually. I have it on CD, and I was just checking. I didn't realize the prices for that album are kind of crazy right now. I mean, I bought it for fucking $5. Looks, I mean, I still have the sticker on it from when I got it, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I actually really like their comeback album from like 8 or 9 years after their kind of double release in 2001. They put out, I think, Part the Second is what it's called, and they pretty much got rid of all the metal and just did kind of a cool, really shimmery, beautiful kind of post-rock album, kind of prog, you know, ambient stuff. But, you know, it's cool to go back and listen to their classic albums and kind of hear how they do, you know, progressive death metal type stuff. I think they, it's always cool to hear bands that do it in a way that's not like Opeth, or, you know, they feel very singular, and, you know, they're kind of, they were definitely doing their own thing. I was never a huge fan of KO-Dot. I feel like I gotta go back and kind of try them out. I'm really hit or miss when it comes to things like post-rock and, you know, those kind of long-winded, you gotta wait 15 minutes before anything happens type of music, which is why I have such a love-hate with Swans. I feel like want to like them so badly, but I don't know if I can always put up with 18-minute songs where, you know, the same shit happens for like 8 minutes of it. That said, I love Noise and Harsh Noise, so what the fuck do I know? Before that, we had some Nartvind, that is Belgian black metal, off of their, I think it was like their first demo. It's called Until Their Ruin, and I believe it's a rehearsal or something. It's basically just some really good, solid, raw black metal from the early 2000s. They had a new album, I think 2 years ago, that was also really good. I always sort of chase those really solid, well-written, but also just very raw and buried black metal albums, and that Nartvind definitely scratches that itch. Before that was some Close Shave, some great late 80s, early 90s Oi. That was We're Coming Back off of Hard as Nails. Just some really good in-your-face Oi. And yeah, I'm in Bethlehem before that. So moving into the next hour, I'm going to kick it off with some Coroner. Another band that I really need to really give a give more of a shot to. I, for whatever reason, I thought that they were a totally different band. I didn't realize that they were like tech thrash. I thought that they were just kind of like a heavy metal band, like a I'm trying to think of a band, like a band that I thought that they were like, I mean, basically just any of those sort of like 80s, like new wave of British heavy metal type of music. For some reason, I like mentally associated Coroner with that, and then randomly got recommended their kind of new comeback song after I don't know how long it's been, 30 years since they put out an album, and threw it on and was like, damn, this is not at all what I was expecting. It's really cool and, you know, technical and kind of weird. So I'm gonna play that single. I don't know when the new album's coming out. I think sometime in the next month or two. But this is gonna be that single from Coroner, and then we'll get into some other stuff, like Deathspell Omega, some Intestine Ballism, some Reverorum Ibn Malakht. We got a lot of good stuff to fill out this second hour. So stay tuned. But until then, this is Coroner with Renewal. with some Intestine Ballism off of Banquet in the Darkness, one of my favorite albums. That that song was actually my college radio show's like theme song, or like bumper song, was that kind of intro melodic riff from that song. That is the genuine tone off of Banquet in the Darkness. Their Intestine Ballism from Japan, known for their smashing of melodic death metal up against brutal death, and doing it with equal parts no finesse and all the finesse at the same time, because it can be pretty jarring, but it somehow really works very well. Supposedly they're still together. I mean, they haven't put out an album since I think 2008 or 9, somewhere in that period. So I think they are majorly overdue. I think they still play live, so fingers crossed they put something out. Another band that needs to put something out, Deathspell Omega. That was the previous one, the title track off of The Long Defeat. I thought that that was the best album of 2022. I mean, I'm pretty much here for anything that they do. I think that they're super innovative to this day. I know that the hype has kind of died down a little bit. I think they sort of peaked around Paracletus 2010 as sort of, you know, where I think people generally consider their stuff to have creatively peaked. I actually think that this I think I would have sort of agreed with that prior to this latest album, but I'm a huge fan of it. I think that it didn't really I don't know, not that it flew over people's heads necessarily, but I just feel like people weren't really engaging with it the right way. I don't know if that's pretentious to say. If you, you know, get the CD or get the LP and kind of read through it and look at the liner notes and look at the artwork, it's actually quite, like, theatrical, and it's like a very apocalyptic fairy tale almost, you know, sort of foreboding, like, the downfall of our Earth, and there's some really disturbing imagery in the LP, really beautiful but really disturbing, and I don't know, there's just something to the way that the album kind of flows, and the way that there's like different vocalists, which is something that they've always done, but especially now, you know, there was a pretty heavy presence of Mortis. I'm pretty sure that's the guy, the Marduk, the Funeral Mist guy, and Marduk, I guess, sort of taking over Miko as the primary vocalist, but I believe they had at least, like, two vocalists on that album, and there was sort of an interplay there, and it really kind of felt like there was a, again, almost like a theatrical, or like a theatricality to the way that, like, the different vocalists would play off of each other, and the lyrics that they would say seemed to sort of represent like a different like function within the narrative that they're telling, and you know, it's just really cool stuff, and you know, it's not as overtly like mathy and weird as some of their older stuff, but it's still very progressive and kind of bizarre. So I'm supposedly it's like the start of a new trilogy, so I'm, you know, can't wait for whatever they decide to put out. Going into the next block, we've got some more weird stuff. This is some Reverorum Ivmilakt, a band that I do think is quite inconsistent. I think that, you know, sometimes they decide to just shit out some weird digital mess, or some, like, you know, what sounds just like kind of low effort dark ambient, and then sometimes they just decide to put out like an incredible black metal album. They surprise released three albums last year, the best one in my opinion being Martyrium Matrimony Sacrificium Christi, which is a apparently an album about the institution of marriage, I think. You know what, I have the LP and I have not spent the time that I need to engaging with it, but I can say that, like, as a pure listening experience, it's really engrossing, really good, very cavernous, and very brutal at times, but also just like, you know, the drumming is just kind of like very ferocious and, you know, very primal sounding. But then it gets very sort of, you know, religious and, you know, elevated. So it's really good. I think it was probably my favorite album last year. So I'm going to play one of the shorter tracks off of that album right now on the LP version of it. And it's still 8 minutes long, so strap in. And then after that, we'll get into some, speaking of Miko, we'll get into some Clandestine Blaze, some Horna, and then we'll close out with some good Polish stuff. But before we get there, let's go into Reverorum Ib Malakt. This is Through the Moonless Night on Radio Valencia.